This podcast is intended for mature audiences and is not considered appropriate for enjoyment in the workplace. However, as bad as this podcast is, we will take anyone we can get, including those who are hard of hearing.
Stop turning that damn dial. We found him. This show is dedicated to the 750,000 fans and listeners spanning from the islands of Hawaii to the trailer parks of North Carolina and over to the whorehouses scattered throughout Europe. Zipping. I wasn't finished. Of other shows and podcasts. Not my problem, people. You wanted an intellectual show that worked the brain like mental Viagra, getting old gracefully, and having a sex life like a rock star? Well, then keep your fingers crossed, because you're now listening to Alan Wolfert on Diary of a Bald Man. This follically challenged air thief and borderline coffeeholic will educate and inform you about non-penetrating, UFO abductions, developing the perfect chicken and dumplings, and how to live life at the speed of dark. Makes you wish you were hard of hearing, doesn't it? And here he is, with a voice that has you yearning to hear nails being dragged across a chalkboard, Alan Wolfert.
The great Lucius Seneca said, "We suffer more in imagination than reality." What is it about our minds that we just get totally fucked, right? We say, hey, so-and-so's doing this. I'm doing this. I'm not pretty enough. I'm fucking gorgeous. I mean, when the lights are down, I'm absolutely fucking beautiful. And depending on how many beer goggles you're wearing. But, you know, people say, don't self-deprecate. Because that's true. You know, Bruce Lee was always saying things like that as well, you know, as other fighters and other people of great mindset. Don't put a negative thought into your mind because you'll make it real. You can't. You can encompass yourself with so much negativity that you will actually fail because your mind believes it. You know, it's like I was saying just a second ago when Seneca said we suffer more in imagination than reality. If we self-depreciate, if we say, I can't do this, if we say, this isn't going to happen. I'm never going to get anywhere. My wife doesn't love me. My kids don't respect me. You may be seeing something, but you're constantly putting it onto yourself. And what you envision is what you're going to see. If you say, hey, I'm going to count 10 red cars today, you're going to see 10 red cars because that's what you're looking for. That's it. If you say, my partner loves me, then you're going to pick up on that. There's going to be some times you get on the fucking nerves. I get on my wife's fucking nerves. But I'll tell you what, that bitch would kill for me in a heartbeat. I'd kill for her too. And for all law enforcement listening, I'm saying that in a positive light, right? I'm saying that my woman would drop stuff. She'll beat the living shit out of me later for it. But that's to be expected, you know, because we have different roles and responsibilities. You know, the wife does this, the husband does that. And you hear all the time women saying, well, I wish my man would stand up. I wish my man would do this. I wish my man would do that. But they're not communicating it to the man. They're saying, I wish. And then people are going to come back and rebut me and say, well, Alan, you said if you think this, it'll happen. Yeah, if you put the effort in, don't just think about it. Remember, we suffer more in imagination than reality. And the reality is, did you tell your husband, hey, hon, I want you to make demands. I need you to stand up and do this. And then when you do, and you say, where the fuck do you want to go for supper? I don't know. Then just say, okay, we're going to go get steak. Well, I don't want steak. I want chicken. Well, I don't want chicken. I want shrimp. You know, and by communicating, we get that imagination out, and it becomes a real life because we're actually doing things. You know, that's one of the things that so many people today deal with. We see the higher numbers of suicide and construction. We see the high numbers of suicide with veterans because in their minds, they're suffering. They have a hard time communicating. I don't. I have a hard time in crowds. I really don't like crowds. I don't. You know, that's one of the reasons I loved working remote because the same people I got to know intimately, I'm not talking about, you know, butt naked and we're all washing each other's backs. I mean, not all the time. But, you know, it's that intimate thing, like if something happened, hey, you know, I knew Don Llewellyn when we were on Shimmy. He was going to look out for us, but we were looking out for him. He was a great boss. He had anticipations. He didn't imagine what he wanted us to do. He specifically said, Alan, get your ass out, load these pallets, do this, help prep for the fuel, help get the dash 10s, get these things taken care of. Because he wasn't going to imagine I was going to do it if he didn't communicate openly and clearly. Same thing when I was on Wake Island, you know. When I was handling law enforcement, and I'd say, hey, you need to slow your asses down when it rains, because growing up on Guam and being overseas, you know, they don't have a lot of aggregate out there, so they use coral. When coral gets wet, it gets slick. So I would explain, hey, you're taking this corner, you're doing this, you're doing that, you know, and I communicated effectively. So when we're thinking about it, where are we screwing ourselves? When we say, well, man, my wife's going to be in a bad mood because I did this. Okay, she may be in a bad mood. Moods change. Everything changes. The minute you wake up, you're in a different mindset. When you go to bed, you're in a different mindset. Change your fucking mind. This is what you should say. My wife's going to be pissed off because I broke this. Okay, so how are you going to rebut that? You're going to say, honey, I broke this, but look what I did. I found this on Amazon. I'm going to get it replaced. It's not as great as this one, but it's going to do this and this for us. You know, and some things are irreplaceable. People hold on to too much fucking junk, and then when they fucking pass away, God forbid, but it's going to happen. The minute you're born, you start fucking dying. So look around you. What kind of shit do you have accumulated? I am very lucky in that my wife, when we got this house, the first thing, you know, is the focal point, the walls, where we hang our shit. And she came up with gray. So everything else stands out. And above my desk, you know, I've got my old badges, coins I've received, the hard hat she and I wore when we were doing construction, my walking tall stick from Wake Island, the plaque that the guys gave me, an American flag, Diary of Bald Man. I want you to envision this. I've got one square section in front of me, and that's it. Fuck everything else. I don't want shit on my walls that someday my wife or the kids or people are going to come in and say, fuck, look at all this shit. Look at all this dust on this fucking stuff. What value did that have? You know, the hard hats, that's how I met my wife during construction. I wanted that shit because every day when I wasn't staring at her ass, I was looking at what new sticker she had on her hard hat and wondering if somebody said, hey, to inspect it because you have all those stickers, you flip it upside down, look for cracks, holes, things that were not naturally occurring when that thing was formed. You know, look around you. Do you have things that's making your life better? Do you have 1,000 pictures on your wall? What do you have? And what items of the past? Because, you know, again, imagination kicks in. When we think about the past, you know, we think, what could I have done different? What? Oh, shit, you know, I forgot about this happening. And I talk about this because a really good friend, one of my oldest friends since 1995, Michael Brindley, recently passed away. Now, I love Mike. Mike was one of the absolute kindest motherfuckers you wish you knew. And he was passionate about everything he did. He loved Wiccan witches because he was curious about that side. Why would somebody become a witch? Because of the natural things, right? Natural herbs, remedies, the thoughts of crystals helping and stuff. But he had been hospitalized for the past 3 years. He had an incident while he was in Cleveland. They found him in his vehicle. His guts were all messed up. And for over 3 years, he had surgery after surgery and then movement after movement. COVID kicked in. You know, life was fucked. But the one thing Mike told me on every conversation, he goes, I could have woke up dead, but I'm here. And in our last conversation before he finally passed away, one of the things that he stipulated, he was so curious about, was with everything that they lost with him, you know, that failed with him, the different types of antibiotics, the different types of surgeries, the different types of, you know, post-patient care, things like that. He said, I hope they learn from me so the next motherfucker gets something better and survives. He was surviving. But he always found something positive. Bad surgery, oh, sepsis kicked in, oh, another infection, oh, the colostomy, oh. He didn't say, woe is me. He said, do you know what they've done now? Do you know how far advanced we are in surgery? Always had a positive, you know, aspect on things. Never thought, well, I'm going to die. He knew he was going to fucking die. When we met each other in 1995 in Detroit, we were on the line, and we were getting the shit kicked out of us. I mean, think about Detroit. The Detroit News was on strike. The Free Press was on strike. I mean, hundreds of these motherfuckers out there. They were throwing stuff at us, setting fires. And we'd get back in to hydrate. And myself and Jeff Daughtry and a couple others go around checking for injuries, checking for things like that, treating the guys. And Mike's like, hey, I learned this. If I tape this to my grip and I do this, I could swing this baton and fucking knock a giant down. Always saw the positive. Never said, hey, we just got our shit handed to us by these motherfuckers. He was like, hey, guess what I learned? Guess what this guy did? Look at how they threw these Molotov cocktails. His imagination was always on the positive side. I suffered. I took a licking. I saw how that guy knocked me down. And he took it to the next step. He was one of those that truly believed that you grieve or you suffer for no more than 10 seconds. Because if you take it longer than that, it's going to take you down. Because then you'll be like, oh, you know, I got clipped in the wrist. I got clipped on my knee. I got this. What if they broke this? What if they did? They did. It stopped where it stopped. It ended where it ended. And so he goes, you grow from there. That seed was planted. Water that motherfucker and let's get going. And when we get back, we'll get going more on the great Michael Brindley and the person you should have known. And we'll be back in just a minute.
No matter where you are in the world, that rambling voice from Tennessee will cause traumatic ear damage and lower your IQ to a level that must be measured in the negative. It's too late to turn it off now. You're listening to Alan Wofford on Diary of a Bald Man.
Hey, sinners, welcome back to the Shit Show. You're listening to Alan Wofford and Diary of a Bald Man. So, you know, we were talking about the imagination and reality. The reality is, Mike Brindley and I met in 1995. Never knew this motherfucker. And I say that with love. I say that with admiration. If any of you ever watch Vet TV, excuse me, you know that when veterans cuss one another or say stuff like this, that's kind of a way we show love. That's not the way most people see it, but that's truly well and good for us because we understand. Mike was an Air Force veteran, spent time in the Philippines, traveled around the world, did munitions on aircraft, came back. He was a truck driver for a while and somehow found his way going into tactical security. When we were working, you'd have to look it up, Chuck Vance and the asset protection team. You know, we're out there. We were knuckle draggers. We'd go out when there was a crisis or a certain event, and we'd assist companies with, you know, security and keeping their facilities from being destroyed, you know, in documentation, evidence collection, counter-surveillance, things like that. But that's not what I want you to think about when I want you to think about Mike Brindley. I want you to think about maybe a friend of yours, an associate, or a family member, something along these lines. Think about a person that you may know. It may be you. You may be that positive cog in a wheel that's constantly stuck. You know, Mike, when we were roommates from 2000 on through 2004, before I went out to Wake Island, you know, we had a lot going on. 9/11, we were deployed. We had guys all over the country. Couldn't really fly, so we were getting people to drive to locations he and I would fill out on sites. And we would travel often together. And we'd listen to books on, you know, tape and things like that. Really, there wasn't that many podcasts or audio things back then. You know, we didn't have, like, iHeartRadio and stuff. And we would listen to things, and we would converse because intellectually we were the same. We both wanted to know more. We both wanted to know why. We both wanted to know what created this. He had a girl one time, and he was dating her, and she turned around and said, "Mike, we can't see each other anymore. I'm really more of a lesbian than bisexual." And she became one of his best friends because he was intrigued by the fact, why would you turn away from guys? What is it about women? You know, what is it about you guys that you find that more attractive? Excuse me, guys. Pollen, everything going around right now. And she was honest, and she said, "Hey, you know, it's just like this, this, and this." I was not part of the conversation. But Mike said it was such a great conversation. She was open and honest about it. She just thought girls were beautiful. That's why she was bi. But she didn't want to be pounding herself with a dildo all the time. That's why she wanted a dude. But she just found that she wanted to be with somebody, you know, that was feminine. So Mike did not say, "Oh, I turned this chick, you know, completely queer," because he did. He had nothing to do with it. You know, again, imagination and reality. His imagination was she just thought, like any dude would, that women are just more beautiful. You know, what would you want to lay next to? Something you got to shave the back of, like a silverback gorilla, or something you can cuddle up with? This smooth, cuddly, and full figured. You know, that's just one of those things. So I want you to imagine a positive person in your life. Who's the most optimistic? Who's the one that's always out there? And then I want you to know, in the reality, some of those people that are the most optimistic, the funniest. I mean, think about comedians, Chris Farley and others like him. You know, they made people laugh, but deep inside, they were truly suffering because they had the need and the talent and the ability to make people laugh, but it was really hard for them to laugh. They were suffering from something we don't understand, you know, and it's not to say that people that are comedians have, you know, tendencies to constantly hurt themselves. Others do the same damn thing. Musicians, artists, actors, you know, people of just normal fucking daily breeding. You know, nothing even special. But it's our mindset. It's that thing, you know, when you look back and you've had a really bad day and you go, you pound a few beers, you're not doing anything except making it worse, right? Because instead of talking about it, getting it off your chest, you're holding it in. You're suppressing it. Don't suppress. Get it out of your imagination, turn it to reality. If you know you've got a fuck day, then go do something positive, because you know, in your mind, you're feeling terrible. You're feeling just down and angry. So turn it into something that's going to make you happy, something positive. Go to the gym if you like the gym. Go to the movie. Go rub one out. You know, don't sit there and just say, well, my boss is an asshole. Well, you were just in his line of fire at that time. My wife is being a bitch. My husband's being a dick. You were in the line of fire at that time. Did you bring it on yourself like I've done? Did you? You know, I'm terrible with certain things. And my wife has to carry the torch on that. But I'll take up on other things, you know, that I try to be decent at. I think I'm pretty good at. I don't know. That's for others to judge. But don't sit there and allow yourself to consider, oh, my God, what are they thinking about me? Then you're their prisoner. They're your puppet. You're going to be constantly striving like people on TikTok and people on Instagram. Oh, I've got to get so many likes. I've got to get that. Fuck them. Fuck you, too, for letting somebody else control you. Again, imagination or reality. Do those people add to your life? No. They add to, you know, numbers. They add to different scores or things like that. But if it ain't paying your fucking bills and they're not there to help you change diapers, take care of the dogs, clean the fucking house, don't be their prisoner. Don't be trapped by numbers. Don't be trapped by popularity. If you've got one true friend, somebody that will come in the middle of the night and help you out, that's all you need. You don't need shit else. And that's what Mike did. You know, when we would travel and stuff, people call it, Mike, I need a job, you know, because doing that type of contract work, it's hit or miss. Yes, there were other companies and they'd get jobs and stuff too. But Mike would always say, hey, yeah, I got you covered. You know, and he'd say, but before you go, I need you to take this training. Or I need you to take this and do this. I need you to upgrade this. He would communicate to them what they needed to succeed in getting back out in the field. When he would go in, you know, he'd look at everything. He used to plan things for corporations, took all these FEMA classes, took executive protection training at the COBITS Academy. You know, things that a lot of people did in those days, because that's what he loved. He didn't imagine it. That was his reality. He loved the idea of public safety. Same as me. You know, I went from law enforcement, security, to actual safety. Not that, you know, anybody is different from anybody. Safety is safety. Nobody intentionally wants to get fucking hurt. But as a public safety specialist, you're the eyes in the back of their head, right? That's what we do. Excuse me. Carpenters, electricians, people I deal with constantly, none of them want to get injured. But sometimes they get focused on the task, focused on the mission, focused on the project. They don't see the shit that's going about around about them because they're going to move from this patch of earth to the next. And they may not have done a hazard assessment as skillfully as they did at the beginning of the day because now they're tired. It's later, a lot of hours in. Same thing with you. You are not doing anything intentionally to fuck yourself. But are you doing anything intentionally to help yourself? Are you imagining you are, or is it a reality? What have you done for yourself? You can't help others. You can't give safety. You can't give love, affection, communication, high standards if you're not giving it to yourself. And that goes back to Mike. You know, people have said some things on various social media things, you know, about, oh, Mike, we wish you could have done this. Oh, Mike, we wish you could have done that. And he couldn't. But what he realized is when he physically was impeded, he physically was prevented from doing the things he absolutely loved. He shared his knowledge with others. I told him he should write a fucking book, pamphlet, stuff like that. He goes, no. Because after I write that, after I put it to pen, after I do a blog, it's going to change in 20 minutes. And it truly did. You know, we're looking now at more active shooter events. We're looking now since the pandemic and people were locked away with booze and fucking hate in their heart for fucking years for something that didn't fucking exist. The flu was killing people, and now you got the CD fucking C saying the same thing. You know, oh, well, let's treat it like the flu. You don't have to do this. Piece of shit. Anyways, that's my personal opinion. That is not medical professionals. That's not anybody, but that is my personal opinion. I don't give a fuck if you were offended. Don't tell me Your family died from COVID. They did not have successful fucking COVID testing until much later. They had COVID vaccines for animals, for dogs specifically, for years. So whatever you're thinking was, you know, intent to affect people. Yes, there was. Because you notice it came out during fucking flu season. So, see, I'm getting riled up. Is that my imagination or is it reality? I'm just voicing what other people have. I feel bad that people were forced by, remember how I was talking about getting trapped up because you worry about what people think, you worry about the likes and everything, getting vaccines and things like that. Before they were truly tested, before it was made sure that, you know, people wouldn't lose children, have sudden heart attacks, you know, all kinds of shit that they do for food, you know, and other things. Oh, no, get the shot. People were dying from the flu. Oh, and having ventilators shoved down their fucking neck. That's true. You'd have to Google, but again, same as my podcast, do your research. But it's suddenly, you know, a disease that was mutating and turning into worse and worse things, and the CDC suddenly turns around and says, oh, just treat it like a flu. That should tell you something. Is it imagination or reality? So, just like Mike said, I don't want to do this because it's going to change. Ladies and gentlemen, and other imaginary beast of existence, the reality is you have one life. Do like Mike did. Don't hold negative judging thoughts. You know why we judge? Because it's easier to judge, to contemplate and think about things. But we have to worry about that because our imaginations go wild, right? You have this news source, you have this internet source, you have this social media source. But what you have to wrap around your head is what affects you. What's in your environment? Are you really going to be in a bad way because your wife's mad at you, you fucked up on the job for a day? Learn from what you know, not what you imagine. Learn from what you know. Grow from that and then make your reality something better. I do. I fuck up with certain things. I go to my wife and say, honey, I need you to fix this. Because she specializes. She's fucking master mechanic with Allen fuck-ups. But when she needs something, I try to be there. I try to be a source. Do I always do the best? Probably not. But she'll let me know. And then the reality is, fix it. Do better. Because then I'm building from the challenges. Where I fell apart and let somebody else down, am I responsible for other people's feelings? No. Do I care about other people's feelings? Yes. I want to know. If you're upset, yeah. I may not give a shit that you're upset about it. If it had nothing to do with me, and it had nothing to do with you, it was just the environment, your time for a hiccup, your time for a unique challenge. But find the Mike Brindley in you. Find that point where you took that hit. You affected other people's lives, and you just kept on rolling. And you know when there's a limitation. Don't throw yourself out there to change the world if you know it's going to change in 10 minutes. Change your world. Change somebody else's life. Take one moment to pick them up so their reality is not the imagination, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me. It was just at that time, nobody knew me. I didn't exist. Because look around you, people staring down through phones, seeing how many likes they got, how many love they got. Listen to me. I love you. I don't know half of you motherfuckers. You go to look on the website and the map, we're all over the country. We're all over the fucking globe. You think I know half these people? No. But like I said, you know, after my genealogy and DNA testing, I know we're all related, so I fucking love you. Except you sick, psycho, murderous motherfuckers. I don't know. Mom and Dad didn't teach me that shit. Where you picked it up, if you're a hateful, you know, spiteful, so, you know, just bad son of a bitch, I still love you because you're family, but you need to change your shit. You need to find Jesus or Buddha or whatever the fuck it is to make you right. And the rest of you, you just have to find yourself. Stop for a minute. Look up off your fucking phone. Look at who may be having a bad day because their imagination has put them in a bad spot. And it may be based on reality. They could have lost somebody like we all lost Mike. We all lost the love that he had for fucking everybody. We all lost that curiosity he had that he would share if he got the answers. Don't die before you made your mark. Don't die before you gave that opportunity to love and receive love. There's nobody that doesn't deserve something better, that can't do much more than they thought. You set your own limits with your imagination. The reality is, if you can move, breathe, stretch, or talk, you could change the world. Change it around you first. Love you first. Respect you first. And don't die without saying what needs to be said, saying things that could be said, and being your ultimate self. Plan for life. Prepare for failure. Communicate every fucking day. And engage with every breath. Thank you for listening. I love you. And we'll see you guys in a week.
You have been listening to Diary of a Bald Man. Alan Wofford has left the building.
Alan Wofford has produced this podcast for entertainment purposes. Neither this nor any other podcast he produced constitute legal, medical, marital, sexual, or professional advice. The opinions and views presented by Alan are his own and do not reflect the views or opinions of employers, clients, family, Facebook groupies, promotional sponsors, or baby Jesus. Any health information shared or mentioned as an alternative does not create any patient-physician relationship or other professional relationship between the audience and the presenters. No person listening to any podcast from this rocket surgeon should act or refrain from acting based on the content of a podcast without first seeking appropriate professional advice and or counseling. Nor shall the information be used to substitute for professional advice and counseling. As stated earlier, this show is for entertainment purposes, not how to lead or change your life. Do what is best for you or what your spouse approves of. Alan Wofford and all guests of the show expressly disclaim all liability relating to any actions taken or not taken based on any and all contents of this site.